Okay, I'm going to pin this on my collar. Y'all can still hear me? Okay, I'm coming in clear. Okay. We're going to look at the book of John tonight, chapter 11. So if you would go ahead and open to the book of John. I'm going to read quite a few verses. Now, you know, there's a lot of books in the Bible, right? What, 66 books in our Bible and a lot of chapters. And this one here has got to be a lot of people's favorites because it talks about, Jesus talks about that he's the resurrection and the life in John chapter 11. And of course, it talks about probably one of the most famous stories in the Bible, the resurrection of Lazarus after 4 days of being dead in the grave. So pretty popular chapter in the book of John. And it has a lot of information. So we're not going to go through all of it. There's a lot of verses in this chapter, over 50 of them, I believe. But what we're going to do is read basically verses 1 through 28. So let me start. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with her fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. I kind of think that's funny. He loved them and he heard he was sick, so he stayed 2 more days where he was. Verse 7. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." Disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "There are not 12 hours in the day." That's a question. That's not a statement. That's a question. Right? "If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, or Didymus, in King James, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." And whoever lives and he believes in me, he shall never die. Do you believe this? Matter of fact, that's the name of the message tonight. Do you believe? Verse 27, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. So I'm going to stop right there. We're not going to get to Lazarus' resurrection because I want to look at his question, do you believe? Because one of the things that I found very interesting in this story is that Jesus loves Mary and Martha and Lazarus. These are good friends of his. Jesus had been to the house before. They had fellowship there. This is not a stranger. You know, I tend to think that when you ask somebody, do you believe, you're talking to an unbeliever and you're sharing the gospel with them and you're hoping that they would receive the word of God and believe in God, his God in the flesh, right? Emmanuel, God with us. Here he is asking a friend. You know, that's what he calls the church, his friend, his bride, his friends. He called his disciples my friends. I found that very interesting that that God, being Jesus in the flesh again, would actually ask Martha if she believed him when they were talking about the resurrection. So that's why this message is called, Do You Believe? Because the Bible, when it talks about belief, it talks about everything that Jesus taught. Not just that, do you believe he's God, but all of his teachings. You know what he told the church in Matthew chapter 28 for the Great Commission? Go and teach them all things that I've taught you. Not that I'm God, not that you, but all things. So let me start back to the beginning and go over it, because so this chapter has a lot of information. And my goodness, you know, some people, Rusty in particular, could preach probably 10 sermons from these scripture verses I just read. That's how much information is here. They got a lot of information here. So chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. So three things we learn right there. Somebody's sick. We know who it is, Lazarus. He has two sisters, Mary and Martha. They live in Bethany, actually four things. So much information. Verse 2, it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrance oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So there's several Marys in the Bible, and if you ever wondered who it was that anointed the Lord Jesus, now you know, the Bible tells you. It was Mary, the sister of Martha, and the sister of Lazarus. She's the one that anointed the Lord for his burial. Verse 3, therefore the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, behold, whom you love is sick. And so we're told that the Lord loves Lazarus. And again, that's important because he's talking to people that he loves. Do you believe? Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. That's a very comforting statement. Because, you know, Lazarus is dead. Word got to Jesus 2 days after Lazarus dead, and then Jesus stayed 2 days longer, and when he gets to the tomb, he's dead for 4 days. So Lazarus is already dead, and Jesus said, he's not dead. He's sleeping, and I'm going to wake him up. So that's very comforting there. So it makes so many, or it underscores so much more of his teachings. So he taught in John chapter 10, verse 21, verse 28, he says, I give them eternal life. He gives life. Here's Lazarus dead, and he's saying he's not dead, and he says he gives life. Underscoring that, that he's God. Who gives life but God? In the beginning, right, in Genesis, God created, right? Day six, Bible tells us, he created man and woman. So God creates, God gives life, and he says that, Jesus, about himself, that in John chapter 10, verse 28, that he gives eternal life. So he, and when you look at that verse, he's saying he's God. If anybody ever told you Jesus never claimed to be God, they are not familiar with the Bible. So the Bible doesn't always spoon feed us and say Jesus is God. But when you read the scripture verse, everything he says, he's God. I mean, they want, you know, the angel told Joseph, you know, name him Jesus, call him Emmanuel, God with us. You know, when I was born, nobody called me Emmanuel. And when you was born, nobody probably called you Emmanuel either. Nope. You know why? Because you're not God, I'm not God, but they call him Emmanuel because he is God. And you know, the Jews understand that. They understood it completely. Completely, they understood every word he said. Because they tell you, if you'll read a little bit more in John chapter 10, verse 28, after Jesus tells them, I give eternal life, they pick up stones. Why? Because they want to kill them, right? That was the death penalty back then, right? They didn't shoot you, they stone you to death. And Jesus asked them, after doing so many good works, after healing the blind, cleansing the leper, healing the lame, healing other dead people, calling other dead people to life, Jesus plainly asked him, well, which one of these good works are you going to kill me for? That's paraphrasing, but they say stone, but that's the same thing. Which one? And so the Jews say, we ain't going to kill you for any good works or stone you. We're going to stone you because you have made yourself equal to God. The Jews understood what Jesus was saying. If anybody ever tells you, and look, here it is 2,000 years later, and somebody thinks they got better understanding than the people who, the events that were recorded in the Bible by the people that experienced them, and yet, now that's arrogant, and yet they think they got better understanding 2,000 years later. No, he didn't call himself God. Yes, he clear, and that's only one example. There's other examples where Jesus, I'm from above, you're from below. He's talking about heaven. I come down from above. He's talking about he came from heaven. So Jesus clearly says that he's God. And in chapter 11, verse 4, Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick. He said, this sickness is not unto death, because he's God. And he's 2 days, Lazarus 2 days dead in the grave. And Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Does that sound familiar? That sounds familiar, right? That sounds very familiar. Turn over just a couple of chapters to chapter 9 in the book of John, and I want to read verses 1 through 3. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. In the book of John. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. His whole life, the man never could see. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. The works of God. So Jesus is going to resurrect Lazarus to bring glory to the Father, and he heals this man. That's a whole nother story, right? Where we get the famous saying, all I know is once I was blind and now I see. Amen. That's the man we're talking about here in chapter 9 of the book of John. So Jesus heals him, and we learn that it was not any penalty of sin from him or his father, but to bring glory to God. So if you're sick and you're wondering where in the world this came from, how did this happen, call out to God for healing. Maybe God wants to glorify himself through healing you. Amen. Amen. So that's what, back to chapter 11. So that's what we see here when Jesus says, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And he's going to mention that again. That's not the only time he says that. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, and we're first told, what was that? We're first told that Jesus loved Lazarus. The one that's sick is the one that you love, Jesus, Lazarus. And then in verse 5, we learn that he loves Martha and Mary and Lazarus. So these are really good friends of his. Verse 6, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. So, yeah, that's, you know, if somebody told me my loved one was sick, I'd be like, if I'm at work, I'd like, okay, thank you, hang up, close for the day, I gotta go by their side. You know, this is a loved one, I got somebody I love, I gotta go see him. So the Lord loves Lazarus, but the Lord also knows he's gonna resurrect him, because he's gonna glorify God. And so he stays 2 more days. So on the surface, when you read it, it sounds funny. At least it does to me, stay 2 more days. But that's why, I mean, it's going to have a big impact. Imagine if he waited, instead of 4 days, 40 days. Whoa, huh? I mean, he would have been decayed, bones, huh? I mean, 4 years. Of course, he didn't have that much time because he had a ministry that only covered 3 years. So, but yes, Nelson, I see your hand. You need a mic? Pass a mic around somebody, please. Oh, Debbie's got a mic. She's very sensitive. Okay.
I was watching the Bible review for The Chosen for this particular episode.
Mm-hmm.
And a Messianic Jew said the reason he waited 4 days is in Jewish tradition, the soul stays with the body for 3 days. So Jesus was given enough time to prove that he was dead. We would think 4 days in the grave, yeah, you're dead. But it was also related to a Jewish
Messianic
tradition. I don't know if that's true or not, but he's a Messianic Jew. I'm guessing he knows.
Well, it might be their tradition, but Paul said, absent from the body, present with God. So I don't think your soul hangs around in the grave for 4 days. But for the sake of their tradition, that makes sense. That would make sense. Yeah, he would give him no reason to doubt his ability that he's God.
He fell asleep and he just woke up.
Mm-hmm. Right. He was in a coma for whatever, a day or two. All right, so...
Not the same Lazarus, by the way, but at his death, I mean, he closed his eyes in death. The angels of the Lord came immediately to escort him into into Abraham's bosom, the presence of God the Father. So anyway, just clarifying the fact that if somebody dies, you don't, their soul don't hang around for three or four days, you know.
Yeah. Yes, so that moment of pause that everybody heard online, that was Rusty talking, so without a mic. So anyway, he was just adding clarity that your soul does not hang around in your body, in the grave for 4 days. But anyway, Jesus waited 4 days. Where we at? Verse 6. When he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. So that's a total of 4. Then, verse 7, then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again. So the disciples are a little bit apprehensive about going to Judea because the Jews want to kill Jesus. The disciples are Jesus' followers, so they probably ain't going to have much mercy on the disciples either. So they're a little bit nervous about this. You want to go back to Judea? And then Jesus answers verse 9, are there not 12 hours in the days? Jerusalem, they're about the same, what is it, latitude going up? Yeah, latitude as New Orleans is, about 30 degrees from the equator. So this must be the summertime. So, you know, in the summertime, we have long days. We have, or maybe fall, but it's, you know, he's breaking it in two, 24 hours in a day, 12 hours in a day. Nothing real spectacular about that. But anyway, the thought crossed my mind is like, why did he say there was 12 hours in a day? Other than that, it must have been somewhere around fall or summer, because it's long days. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. You know, their path wasn't smooth like ours. You know, I go outside and walk on a sidewalk. It's pretty smooth ground. They're traveling on countryside. They got rocky land. They got holes in the ground and stuff. At nighttime, I would imagine you could stumble really easy. But there's a spiritual point that's being made here. Darkness represents sin. It always does. So anything evil, people like to do sinful things under the cover of darkness so they're not exposed, so they can try to hide and get away with it. And, murder, adultery, theft, and all this stuff is labeled as darkness. And so what I see here when the Lord says there's 12 hours in the days, if anyone walks in a day, he does not stumble, that tells me that if you walk with the Lord, he takes you out of that. He saves you from the kingdom of darkness, as we're told, and translates us to the kingdom of light. He takes us out of that world where we still can get tempted to do wrong, but now we see the difference. You know, when someone is blind, they can't see, and when they get healed from blindness, like blind Bartimaeus was, when he was healed from blindness, now he could see everything. And it's the same with us. When we're lost, we're spiritually blind. And when we can't see God, and we can't see why we should even obey God, because it makes more sense to do what benefits yourself. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have this, times are getting darker. You know, that's the term that people use. When we have so much crime, and you turn on the news and there's so much crime, You know, we had another school shooting just today where four people lost their lives. You know, what? It's a 14-year-old, you know, provoked to do such evil. They can't see who Christ is, and they're walking in darkness. And when we're with Christ, then when we get saved, our spiritual eyes are open. We can see who he is, and we follow him. We repent of our sins, and we follow him. And that's the point being made here, that while Jesus is with them, they need to follow him, and he's got a ministry, and they need to go with him, and he's on his way to Bethany to heal Lazarus, and it's in Judea, and it's just a couple of miles from Jerusalem, and the disciples are nervous about it. And so Jesus tells them, if anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Verse 11, these things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sake that I was not there that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. So that's what I was talking about when I read in verse 4, and I said that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And I said, we'll see that again. And that's what you see in verse 14. Jesus says, I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. It's being done for their benefit. Do you believe? These are friends, you know, the disciples are Jesus' friends too, not just Lazarus and Mary and Martha, but the disciples are as well. And he wants to increase their faith. He wants to make them even stronger. He wants them to understand that he gives life, and he's going to demonstrate it. So, nevertheless, the end of verse 15, nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. So Thomas is being sarcastic. Now, Thomas didn't say this to Jesus. Note in the scripture that he said it to his fellow disciples. Of course, Jesus knows it because Jesus can even know your thoughts. But he's afraid. Just like the other disciples. The other disciples told Jesus, they tried to kill you in Judea. Let's not go back there. And they didn't say that, but they said, and now you want to go there again? And Jesus, and now Thomas is saying, okay, well, let us go and we'll die with him. Well, you know, now starting to see why he's called Thomas the Doubter. You know, it says Thomas the Doubter. Y'all know what Thomas, we're talking about Thomas the Doubter. Because in chapter 20 of John, the book of John, the disciples had seen Jesus after he was resurrected, and Thomas wasn't with them. And then so Thomas said, I don't believe it. He didn't believe it. He says, I have to see. I have to see the nail scars in his hand and thrust my hand into his side, into the wound in his side. So Thomas is labeled a doubter. And we can see here's another example of it. He doesn't know what Jesus is doing. He's being sarcastic, and he thinks that they might end up dying too. Also, he's the one in John chapter 14. Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to read it from, I'm going to go ahead and go to John chapter 14 and read it from verse 1. But he's the one that Jesus answers and tells them, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. Always demonstrating a lack of faith. Now, the other disciples, a lot of stuff they didn't understand either. But But they knew to keep their mouths shut because what Jesus was saying was true and right. So they just kept their mouths shut. But not Thomas. He demonstrated his doubtful heart. So I'm in John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Again, Jesus saying, I'm God. No one goes around saying, you believe in God? Well, believe in me. Nobody does that. But Jesus, unless you're God. Very, very well put, Dave. So Jesus is plainly saying it again. Once again, he's not spoon-feeding us, but he's not keeping it a secret. You believe in God? Believe also in me. Verse 2, chapter 14 of John. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. So Jesus is telling them, you know where I go. And the way you know. Thomas said to him, Thomas. None of the other disciples, Thomas. Thomas says to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, verse 6, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the reason why Jesus told him, you know the way, is he's already told him in chapter 10 of John that he's the door. And if you come through me, you'll have life. You will live. He already told him that this isn't Thomas's first day as a disciple with the disciples following Jesus. He's been in the ministry for quite a while now. He heard Jesus' teachings, and yet he expresses a lot of doubt. And so in John chapter 11, here he is once again expressing his doubt and being sarcastic about it. But here's the good part about it. God loved them, and there was room for his doubt. There's nothing in the scripture that ever tells us that Thomas won't be in heaven, that he didn't make it, that, you know, he's not like Judas. Now, that's a different story, right? But, you know, despite his, lack of enthusiasm over or lack of confidence in what Jesus is saying is true, or maybe he's just slow to understand. Maybe the other disciples said, we don't understand, but we know to keep our mouths shut. We're not gonna doubt what he says when we've seen him open the eyes of the blind and cleanse the leper and walk on water and feed the multitudes with, you know, a few fish and bread. And the other disciples are like, you know, we're just gonna keep our mouths shut, but not Thomas. So Thomas, perhaps he just lacked understanding. So, anyway, enough about Thomas. Let's move on. Let's see. Where am I at? Verse 17. Yes. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany near Jerusalem is about 2 miles away. King James gives you a little bit more information. It doesn't tell you it's about 2 miles away. It tells you it's exactly 1 mile and 7/8. So, yeah, because they call it a furlong, and a furlong is about 1/8 of a mile. So it was 15 furlongs from Jerusalem, so it's a mile and 7/8. So basically about 2 miles. So. Verse 19, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Verse 21, now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. And that's true. That's true. Jesus had compassion on the sick. He would have healed them. That's why he stayed away. He's there to do a miracle. He wants to show. Remember what he said in verse 4? This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So now he's going to demonstrate that he gives life. And everybody's going to see it. But had he been there, he would have healed him. He would have healed him. And you know, this is Martha speaking to, she runs out of the house and she meets Jesus he was near to the Bethany. She met him on the road. And she says, if you'd have been there. And so they knew Jesus well. They knew his compassion and love. And then so Mary later, Martha goes, after she talks to Jesus, she goes back to the house and Martha tells Mary, you know, Jesus is here and he's asking for you. So Mary runs out to go meet him. And you know what Mary says to him? Had you been here, Lazarus would not have died. They both said the same thing to him because they knew him. They were good friends and they knew him. But Jesus, if I can say it this way, had bigger fish to fry. So, and you know, think about that for a minute. So in order to do this miracle, Lazarus had to experience death. Lazarus had to experience death. So, you know, sometimes we get sick and it's like, God, why am I going through this? You know, I got this virus or whatever, or I got some kind of illness. Lazarus had to experience death. Yeah, and then sit in the grave for 4 days. Well, you know, his body anyway, sit in the grave for 4 days. But anyway, so we're picking up from verse 22. Martha just said, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 22, but even now, this is Martha speaking, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So she has faith. She knows that Jesus, if he prays and asks the Father will answer the prayer. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. So she's thinking on the last day. Verse 24, Martha says to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And this is what we see. Lazarus is dead and he's going to live again. But it also has spiritual implications that we being spiritually dead will live again if we believe Jesus, if we trust in Jesus. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So thank God for the resurrection. You know, the resurrection of not just the dead, but the living too. He asks Martha a question in verse 26. Do you believe this? So that's what really got me completely into this chapter and reading this is why he knows people's hearts. You know, I always think of that story in Mark's gospel. That's in, I think, chapter 2. And so Jesus is at Peter's house and he's teaching, and a great crowd comes there. And there's so many people that you can't even pass through the doorway. And then four guys carrying their friend who's crippled, they want to get in his house. This is Peter's house. So they go up on the rooftop and they tear a hole in the roof. And so I know y'all familiar with that story. And so they lower the man down and his mat to the feet of Jesus. And Jesus has compassion on him. So once Jesus doesn't ignore it. See, Jesus will heal Lazarus. He would have had compassion on him. When he was dying, he would have had compassion. He heals this man in Peter's house, and there's a scribe there because Jesus told him the man your sins are forgiven. Pick up your mat and go, your sins are forgiven. And so the scribe thinks, doesn't say, he thinks, who's this man? This is blasphemy, that actually believes he can forgive sins of other people. And Jesus turns to him, knowing his thoughts, is what the scripture tells us, and says, what's easier for me to say, pick up your mat and go, or to say, your sins are forgiven? But so you'll know that the Son of Man has the power, the authority to forgive sins on earth, pick up your mat and go. See, that's the hard one. You can tell anybody your sins are forgiven. Doesn't mean it's true, but you can say it. That's easy. Let me see you go to somebody that's crippled and say, pick up your mat and go. That shows authority. That story there, before I lose my train of thought, let me get back to John 11 and... he asked Mary, does she believe? And that story there shows me that he knows the hearts of people. He knew what the scribe was thinking. He knew it. And so the scribe at that point, he should have got saved right then and there. I mean, first of all, somebody read your mind. And then second of all, somebody healed somebody in front of you. I mean, that's got to, your heart's got to be hard to reject that. I mean, that's amazing. And anyway, so he knows people's hearts. And he's asking Martha if she believes. And he asks for good reasons. Because a few verses later, he has to tell Martha. Let me show you something when you go to, that was verse 28. That's where we stopped. Actually, we stopped on 32. Go to verse 39, same chapter, chapter 11. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time, where am I at? It said, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So he's about to call Lazarus out, and the dead rises to newness of life. And when he told the people to roll away the stone, she basically started to object. He's going to stink. She's objecting. He knows our hearts. He knows he's there doing this miracle for Martha, for Mary, obviously for Lazarus, for the disciples. So even the believer has to be taught more or believe more. See, she doubted, she believed in a resurrection in the future, in the last day. But he's saying, I give life, and there's going to be a resurrection today. And he says, roll away the stones. And she's basically doubting it and putting the brakes on it. So he has good reason in verse 28 to ask her, do you believe? I'm sorry, verse 26. Do you believe? He asks Martha at the end of that verse, do you believe? So, you know, is there things in our life that we doubt as a church? Do we doubt the Lord that he can't do it? I mean, do we think that he's God But don't roll away that stone. Boy, that's a mistake. Don't do that. I think there is. I think for believers, there's a lot of things that we really need our faith increased by.
Dave. Yeah, it shows that God has mercy even on unbelief. You remember the man whose son was severely demon-possessed and the disciples couldn't cast out the demon. And he told Jesus, Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief.
Yes, yes, that's a good point. That's right, yeah. So there's an acknowledgement of a believer who has unbelief. Yeah. So anyway, I think the thing to take away from this for me is that my belief, as much as I believe in God, can be increased. I don't believe that, you know, like this bottle, it holds 20 ounces, and if you try to put any more in, it overflows. I don't believe there's a limit. I think that my faith can increase and increase and increase. And so that's what I took away from that, from this, when Jesus asks Martha, do you believe? Because he's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to believers. That's the thing to remember. So, you know, you're gonna see Martha and Mary and Lazarus in heaven. So he's talking to, so I believe that he says that to his church. Do you believe? Do you believe everything he says? Because you know what? The disciples were afraid to go back to Judea because the Jews had threatened to kill Jesus, and the disciples knew if they went and they killed Jesus that they would be harmed too, probably even killed. And so what about us? Do we try to put the brakes on what God's doing in our life? Like, no, Lord. Do we have enough faith for the hard times, let alone the good times? It's easy to be a follower of Christ when you can say, he blessed me with a new job and I'm making a ton of money. And he healed me from my sickness and I got strength again. And you just talk about the blessing. Sometimes you see cars with bumper stickers on it and they're bragging about God's blessing. I'm blessed, you know. And that's a good thing, you know. You should give a testimony if God blessed you, you know. But do you have faith to love them when you feel like I'm cursed? You know, I don't have a big car. I have a pair of roller skates. You know, I don't live in a house. I live on the streets. I'm homeless. You know, can you bless God when you're going through trials? Can you bless His name and thank Him? And it's hard. It's really hard. But you know what? He can increase your faith. So you can praise Him when things are good and when things are bad. Well, my friends, that's where I'm going to stop, and I'm going to pray. And then if anybody needs prayer, come on up, and we'll pray. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have a lot to be thankful of, Lord, because we are a blessed people and a blessed nation, Lord. Father, we have we just have so many blessings, from houses to live in, to food to eat, Lord, to clothes to wear, Lord. That's just the basics. And then we got so much beyond that, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for blessing us, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would increase our faith, Lord, that you would take us from level to level, Lord, not just faith and you as being God in the flesh incarnated when you were on earth, but also faith that no matter what you tell us to do, we won't say, no, don't roll away that stone. No, let's not go to Judea, but we would say, amen, Lord, amen, amen, Father. And we would follow, we would go, Lord. Just bless us with that kind of faith, Lord, the faith that trusts you in all things. We thank you, Lord. We praise you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, saints of God, you are dismissed. And if anybody has any prayer requests, come on up and we'll pray.